Broadcasting live from Roadhouse, Live, Die, Repeat, this is Pop Culture Reference, your one-stop reference for all things pop culture. I'm one of your hosts, Garrett Strother.
And I'm one of your other hosts, Seamus Connolly.
And today we will be covering the new Amazon Prime original movie, Doug Liman's, starring Jake Gyllenhaal's Roadhouse. A movie that is a fitting successor to its original in that it is deeply weird, but maybe in no other ways is it a fitting successor. But first, we have to acknowledge the passing of prolific legendary character actor M. Emmett Walsh. Seamus, I know you have a little bit less familiarity with him than I do, but I still think that you have some roles that stand out to you with Walsh.
Whenever I see his face, I go straight to his one episode of Frasier that he did playing Marty's mean boss, who he eventually bonds with by the end of the episode by locking Frasier and Niles in a broom closet. He's great in that. Love him there. But I mean, of course, also he's the like Blade Runner police chief in the weird Blade Runner office in Blade Runner. He's great there. You know, he made an appearance in Knives Out, of course, which is probably the most recent thing that I saw him in.
And he was actually a last-minute addition to Knives Out. I'm trying to remember who he... Some other legendary character actor was supposed to be that role, and then that guy died, and then M. Emmett Walsh came in.
Well, I mean, the train conductor Coleman in Wild Wild West, absolutely hilarious. Just, like, walking in... Ugh. I know that movie gets a lot of flack, but it is top three greatest pieces of cinema of all time. I'm going to have to say it to you, Garrett. And then that is in no small part to M. Emmett Walsh, of course.
Well, that sounds like an objective fact that you just passed
on.
That's
straight out of the movies encyclopedia. That's right up there with like Gone with the Wind and other examples, you know.
Film studies degree at work.
right here. There. Gone with the Wind. Wild Wild West. No other examples.
No other examples. I think the movie that most comes to mind, and maybe partially because it's the movie that he maybe has the biggest role in that I'm aware of, is as the enigmatic hitman in the Coen brothers' debut film Blood Simple. He also pops up in their second movie, Raising Arizona, and I think a very memorable role as Nicolas Cage's co-worker.
Wow, yeah.
He's so
Wow. He's fantastic. He's just got a weird, incredible humor to him, even though I feel like he often plays just like a curmudgeon or a hammer-down authority figure in some way. I think he's phenomenal, and he will be missed for sure.
He absolutely will. I also think that we cannot pass up the opportunity to, one, mention What's Up, Doc, but two, specifically, famously, he hates these cans, Seamus.
He hates these cans?
He is the sniper in The Jerk.
Oh my god. Wow. I haven't seen The Jerk in probably 100 billion years, but that is truly a memory unlock moment for me right here. That's like pure Seen It material, right?
Absolutely.
Like that for sure. I saw that and seen it 1,000 times before I actually saw The Jerk.
That's a common question that we ask on this show. Is it a classic scene or is it just a scene at scene? And I think the answer is both in that case.
Is it an all play? And it should be, because that scene is amazing.
Everybody deserves to engage with that scene to the level that they do on an all play.
we're gonna do our Scene It special, where we like put something real on the line and we play we fold out the Scene It board and we play the long version and really try to go for it.
That's the only way to play Scene It, as far as I'm concerned, Seamus. The other way is for quitters. The other way is for casuals.
Either that, or you just, like, rapid-fire, just watch all play over and over in rapid-fire trivia.
That's good, too. But what do you say we move on over to today's main segment, Roadhouse, two words, but it's the remake.
if you insist. for today's main segment, we are talking about the brand new Doug Liman's Roadhouse remake starring Jake Gyllenhaal.
I want to take his Roadhouse.
Oh, I wish. I would watch, you know, I would watch Face Off any given day. Garrett, this is not an exaggeration. I don't think I'll ever watch this movie ever again. I don't think it will ever come up on the rotation. Even if someone's like, we're watching Real Roadhouse, and someone's like, oh, they remade this with Jake Gyllenhaal, I'll be like, just don't bother. Just do not even bother.
I am a little bit softer on this than you are. I didn't love it. I wouldn't recommend it, but I don't know if I would necessarily super try to dissuade somebody from watching it either, because I think it's fine. I wish it had an ending, which we'll get into later.
Will we? Oh, man.
I alluded to this up top, that it is a deeply weird movie in a way that is not at all similar to the fact that the first Roadhouse is a deeply weird movie, and I think that you would be less inclined to stomp on this movie, which I respect your right to do, were it not trying to be a Roadhouse remake.
And that's, I keep, this movie should have been called Bar Fight or something, maybe. And it's not like I watched Roadhouse 2 weeks ago for the first time. I have no lasting nostalgic true love for Roadhouse. I loved that it was so weird and fun to watch, but like, it's not as big of a legacy here. I just went into this. I knew I had to watch it at some point for this episode, and I kind of just casually put it on with like zero expectations. And then the credits rolled, and I was pissed. I don't know. I just sat there alone, and I was just like, "What the hell is even this?" I don't know. I'm stammering now because I've just been boiling over since I've watched this. I don't know why I have such a visceral reaction compared to you, but I. Maybe it's Conor McGregor's smug face and walk. Maybe it's the fact that my home dog from Game Night just doesn't even really get a crescendo that he deserves. I don't know. I'm very anti Roadhouse 2024.
My big take is that they needed to let both Jake Gyllenhaal and Billy Magnussen go crazier in this movie. Held them back too much, and that, I think, Liman's good taste continually gets in the way of this movie. That if it were stupider, if he let it be stupider, and Doug Liman, we've talked about his movies a lot recently, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Edge of Tomorrow, both great action movies, well, not great, maybe, one great action movie,
one and a half
good
great action movies. Yeah. I get you.
That, I think his good taste in those movies is what helps make them, you know, work as well as they do. But here, I hate to say that this should have been directed by Michael Bay. But
hey, when you're right, you're right. Unfortunately or not, you are right.
I think you need a little bit more scumminess to make this Roadhouse movie work, and Billy Magnussen is a guy who I love it when he shows up and stuff. I am waiting for him to get his big break. I kind of thought that No Time to Die was going to be that.
I was just about to say the same thing. I thought that was his skyrocket moment, because he's fantastic in pretty much everything I've ever seen him in.
And Gyllenhaal is doing the reserved half of Dalton. I think actually the thing that translates most well in this remake from the original is the character of Dalton. I really like the stark disparity between this guy who is clearly in touch with compassion and the negativity of violence and the power of his own raw anger with the hyperviolence that he then inflicts. And if Gyllenhaal were allowed to go crazier, I think the character would hit all the way around for me. Because there's a scene early on in the beginning where they play an interaction that he has very much for laughs, like with going from Zen to hyperviolent back to Zen, which we can get into more in spoilers, but I will say, and I think it could have been better played by a better actor. The one guy who they let go as crazy as everybody should have been going in this movie was Conor McGregor.
I mostly agree with everything you just said.
I actually
fully agree with your take on the more reserved, in control side of Jake Gyllenhaal's Dalton worked a lot better for me. I think maybe one of the other big factors in my absolute hopes for this movie being dashed were starting it, and it really does start on a pretty fun, interesting, like, you know, they're dropping a little reference here and there. The action seems fun. They're keeping it in this roadhouse style thing that they're doing. And then it really deteriorates for me once we get to the other half of Dalton's character and why it is just not charming or endearing is the better word. I lose all sympathy for that endearing idea of Dalton snapping or letting his power overcome his restraint, or however you want to say that. I just feel like the vibe in this new one was way less empathetic in almost every single way. I don't know. We'll get also more into the backstory and the Dalton origins thing that they go for here.
I think there are two elements there. One, that, like I already stated, I don't think it's zany enough. I think, again, this is Lyman trying to lay, like, what's, like, a more interesting... I don't want to get too into spoilers, but Lyman is kind of taking the exact note that I gave Roadhouse last week. Of, I feel like Dalton needs a thing. I feel like Dalton needs a hobby.
Yes. Okay, yeah, sure.
And there it is. Like, I think I said boxing last week. We're in that ballpark, is what I'll say pre-spoilers. So, I understand the impulse there to go in that direction. I just think it, again, the movie's good taste is holding it back. But then part two of that is, I don't think they do enough. The backstory is just lip service of backstory. I would love to know if there are cut scenes that go more into the backstory, but the third act of this movie leaves a lot of threads untied. And so, again, we'll get more into that spoiler. Some of that I think works okay, but a lot of it doesn't.
Yeah. Yes, I think that I don't want to be like a complete jerk about this and say that there weren't moments that I genuinely enjoyed and thought were done well. It's not the same flavor of weird that I was hoping for. And there's a couple different flavors in a spectrum here that they could have gone for, and this one is just like completely out of left field for me. And I just feel like, as somebody who has enjoyed many Jake Gyllenhaal movies, that this one, for some reason, I just couldn't get behind him and his deal. I don't know.
I'm totally in line with you there, Seamus. Your frustration with Gyllenhaal's performance. I think that they're letting him do this thing that he's been doing a lot of lately, which is so smarmy that it just feels like he doesn't care. It feels like the actor Jake Gyllenhaal does not care.
And he's making fun of the people he is working with, almost.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, I guess it's entirely possible that when Jake Gyllenhaal was doing the Roadhouse remake that he didn't maybe care all
Yeah,
the way.
You know what? I bet he got paid so much money for this role, dude.
It's doing very well on Amazon Prime, apparently. It's been the number one movie since it came out.
I can't tell you, even before we even decided to do the first Roadhouse for this show, how bombarded I was with advertising for the Roadhouse remake. And it never looked good, necessarily. It never looked bad in those advertisements.
I was very indifferent going into this, and like you, still managed to be disappointed.
Oh, man. Ah, goodness gracious. I don't even know what else to say. I hear what you're saying about how crazy Conor McGregor is. Did you like him in this movie?
I would say I respected what was going on.
Sure,
there.
Sure.
I would not say Normally, in a movie like this, I think that character, I would be excited. I would be like, yes, I need them to come back on screen, please. Here, I was like, at least I know this is maybe going to be more interesting than the other scenes in this movie.
Answer me this, Garrett Strother. Would it have been better or worse if it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson instead of Conor McGregor?
I don't know. The Rock is back to being a heel now on WWE.
That's what's up, man. That's what I'm saying.
So,
like, cornering ourselves with being Dwayne Johnson fans, unfortunately.
No, it's not. You can talk intellectually about craft, Seamus.
Sure.
Without being fans, I'm going to sidestep answering that question by instead bringing up the fact that there are three major fast cast members up in here.
There are three?
Hit me with who you have.
We've got the main bad guy from Five.
Yep.
My man. Almost playing an interestingly similar role of authority in this.
Very similar character, I think.
The lady, the main love interest lady from Fast X, right?
Daniela Melchior, yes. I think is how you say her name.
And what is number three?
So the tough biker guy, the mini boss that Jake Gyllenhaal comes up against.
Oh, yeah, the first guy?
That's Dom's dad, baby.
Oh my god, that's incredible. Holy schmoly, that's amazing. Oh, this is so... Never mind, I was literally just about to launch into absolute spoilers right there. I apologize for that.
Let's do it then, I guess. People have heard what we think. I will not stop you from watching this movie. Seamus will.
I will absolutely recommend you 100 other movies before you watch this.
Listen,
one, I think.
I agree with that, but do I think it's a total waste of 2 hours? Do I think it's stupid popcorn streaming fluff that I would rather you watch this than like 90% of Netflix original movies?
That's not a fair metric, Garrett. That is absolutely hitting below the belt with the Netflix original
movies are trying. This is exactly what Red Notice is supposed to be, or The Gray Man is supposed to be, or whatever.
I guess. I just, if you're gonna remake something, anything, not even like a beloved classic that I am not even in the pool of people who hold it as a beloved classic, just do something instead of nothing. And I feel like this movie was more nothing than something.
I agree. And especially when we get to the end in spoilers. So let's call them. Let's call spoilers.
Did you think that there was going to be a showdown at the tree on the road?
Yes!
I sure did. Are you absolutely kidding me with this old Fred tree setup?
They're on boats in the third act out around the interstate. We see Conor McGregor climbing a ladder out in the middle of the ocean. I don't understand.
Blows my mind.
I don't understand what the thematic image... I sat there after the movie and tried to engage with the thematic imagery, which this movie is very transparent about what it's about, I think to an annoying degree. The fact that in the first 10 minutes... they were like, it's like a Western. I'm like, oh boy.
Let's read the back of a Western novel with Wade.
Which has both, they say something like the double X or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the guy, yeah, and you just said the guy's name's Wade, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes, and I mean, the place, if we're just throwing it out there, the restaurant next to the bookstore is called the Double Deuce.
Why was the bar not called the Double Deuce?
Why was it called the Roadhouse? That's a great question. It makes no damn sense.
Why are they doing this weird joke about Roadhouse, two words? One of our proposed broadcasting locations was, what are we, some kind of Roadhouse?
Roadhouse.
Truly, that's how that conversation felt to me.
I mean, saddle that conversation right next to the also absolutely open-ended setup of, this is my family's legacy business in this area, and then you're like, oh, The Town. They're doing The Town from Roadhouse, and then they just absolutely don't.
How do they set up so many things that they're too inept? I'm not going to say stupid. That's mean to Doug Liman, who is a good director.
He is. We know that. We've said that recently.
But how are they too inept to follow through on all of those third act setups? I mean, my favorite part of this whole movie, and I think you're going to agree with me when I say this, is Mo, the motorcycle henchman guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He is great. Him and his gang, that's when it felt, that's like the first 45 minutes when I was like, all right, it's Roadhouse. Great.
But he's so funny, walking around with his broken arm the whole movie. And, like, I mean, truly, give me the Mo movie. I want to see, like, I want the Marvel one-shot on Amazon Prime that's Mo's adventures after he leaves this movie.
He should have joined, I was about to say the Double Deuce. How messed up is that? He should have joined the Roadhouse.
Yeah!
He should have been wearing a red polo by the end. Where were the red polos? That's a nitpick, surely.
Where's the guy from White Lotus wearing a red polo? I agree. But Mo, like, yes, he does technically help Dalton at the end of the movie.
Yes, he does.
But he should have been either, like you said, at the Roadhouse or, like, on the adventure with Dalton or something. Like, he just doesn't. You have such an endearing character that they are setting up so clearly a trajectory for, and then it is truly just a check mark to them at the end. It's nothing in terms of an actual exciting payoff. I just don't understand it.
He should have been sweeping up the. He should have been struggling to sweep up the bookstore at the end to be like, yeah, I feel bad about being a bad guy because this is a community that we care about. But guess what, Garrett? Ain't no community in this damn movie that care about, you know?
There's no mob killing at the end where we all have to shoot one time.
Billy Magnuson?
So
dude,
weird.
Did you think his dad was going to show up? Because I definitely did, right? Or some kind of video call of, like, a reveal of who his dad is.
Obviously, they think that there's a sequel in this.
Why do they? Oh, my lord.
And honestly, we'll be happy to watch the sequel to this, if only because maybe it'll be better than this one, when they're not shackled to... Because it clearly... I don't know, because Dalton doesn't come back, I wouldn't think. Is the dad and Conor McGregor luring Dalton back by terrorizing the Roadhouse again? Or do they go after Dalton as revenge? They leave enough stuff open-ended that clearly they are thinking sequel time.
You say it's doing well on Amazon?
It's doing very... I think it is. Boy. I think that it will probably get made. I mean, how much do you believe Amazon's own metrics? But
sure, but I mean, you know, I can believe that people are watching this, if not just because of, like I said, the barrage of ads that I've been hit by from this movie for so long before it actually came out. I won't be happy to watch it, but I will watch it. I'll be happy as hell if it's good. I don't want it to be bad, but I'm not gonna sit here and say that a Marvel after credits scene of a dead Conor McGregor swaggering naked out of a hospital has me hyped for more of this.
Honestly,
it should. That sentence sounds hilarious and exciting, and I was scowling at my television by the time that rolled up.
They should have gotten a guy who, I know I said Michael Bay, but any guy who's done a Fast and the Furious movie, I think also could have done this movie better.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, that's not a knock on Doug Liman. Liman's a good director. It's just he's not good at this. And there are moments where we approach the insanity I want it to when the guy gets eaten by the croc.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Snapper? Great. Yeah. Love the snappers.
You love the snapper. Don't we all love a snapper? But that felt very in line with the tone. That's maybe the closest this movie gets to being the original Roadhouse, is when that guy gets eaten.
Sure. I mean, I didn't hate the refresher of, he's not literally ripping a man's throat out in one swift motion. He's like, he knows as a UFC fighter how to, like, collapse an esophagus or whatever. Like, I didn't hate
I wish it had been done to a more interesting character.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Oh yeah. I mean,
I know that guy burnt down the bookstore, but like, I would have much rather seen Billy Magnuson go out like that.
Because I mean, not to mention, I loved the scene where Billy Magnuson shows up at the Roadhouse and he's doing his like Bond villain, like he's got the footage of Dalton killing a man on his phone. Like I actually very much liked that, and I wish that he got to do much more of anything except for brood on a yacht and yell at Mo from time to time.
Yeah, again, should have been more yelling, should have let him go crazier. They should have given him like a machine gun or like some. Sometimes in a movie like this, especially something that feels so video gamey, you give a character, and I say that like that is not in turn influenced by 80s movies, like video games are not influenced by 80s movies. You give a character like an insane, like he's clearly no match for Jake Gyllenhaal, but if you gave him a flamethrower, maybe, you know.
Does he have an RPG on his yacht that he was gifted from some like Saudi royal or some crazy backstory? Does he just have that sitting in the back maybe until he takes it into his own hands?
Some weird thing in case a gator gets on the boat to, you know, they give him the spear gun.
Oh, for a second.
One second.
Yeah. Ugh. And it doesn't,
it doesn't come back. There's no pay. Why doesn't Conor McGregor stab the spear gun up his, you know, like Jason Statham in The Beekeeper?
I mean, Conor McGregor's not supposed to also still be a UFC fighter, right? He's supposed to be like an assassin. He's supposed to be like a hitman that is coming to take care of business.
Yeah, but I mean, Conor McGregor's character is really not a huge problem for me. I think if the rest of the movie worked better, I would not. I think we'd be going Conor McGregor is maybe the weak point, ideally. But as the movie currently stands, he is in the pro column currently for me.
I would have agreed with you more if not for the unceremonious killing of Mr. Magnuson in the middle of anything that was about to maybe have a Mexican standoff style showdown in the roadhouse between all three of them.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's a real good, the bad, and the ugly right there.
It would have been if he got to pull out his jewel encrusted saber that he's had the whole movie or whatever. Because you got the two strong guys and then the third guy who's like got a weapon. I don't know, man.
A thing that got burned on a bad movie that I wish they would use in a good movie is Christoph Waltz has a gun that has two barrels in it, in like a pistol that has two barrels that are like making a V in that bad Seth Rogen Green Hornet.
Whoa, really? That's rad. I never saw that bad movie.
So that would be perfect for your Mexican standoff where he could have them both in his sights with one gun.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that would have been great. I mean, I there's a thousand ways for this movie to have been at least more fulfilling. Like, I can't say that I wasn't, like, you know, having a good time watching chins just get clipped on bar tops left and right. Like, that, there's some really fun ideas for the hand-to-hand combat moments. But, man, it just flutters out, and all the characters that you think mean anything are, like, gone for the last important hour of the movie, and then they're just suddenly back at the end, like, all right, Dalton, good to know you.
I really don't know how this movie can be 10 minutes longer than the original and still not nearly as fully it doesn't flesh out any of the side characters nearly as much. It doesn't flesh out the love story nearly as much, which I don't hate, because one of the things that I will say that this movie does better than the original is Dalton doesn't get the girl. She sees who he is and he has to leave town. Like the Westerns that this movie is very, very transparent about being influenced by, which again, like, should be a good thing because the first one is so clearly influenced by Westerns, but it just doesn't work. The love story would have been fine with me if there had just been one good love scene. And I don't mean like sex scene necessarily, one real scene where we see the intimate connection between those characters. They just needed, I think, one more part, and it would have worked a little bit better, because going out, sitting on the sandbar isn't quite cutting it for me.
No, that's not that even that type of scene. That was the scene where they are finally seeing, like, eye to eye. That's the dam breaking and they kiss, but then you need the thing after that to show that they actually aren't just making out on the sandbar, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Which I think the first Roadhouse does a very good job of, and I don't get it. I don't, there's so many scenes that are at the beginning of this movie verbatim from the original. You have the him getting his stomach stapled scene, except he doesn't take that. That's a weird alteration, I guess. But you have his coworker bringing him breakfast at his non-traditional living place.
Yeah. You'd think any of that would matter in the idea, like in the writing of this movie. And I know I looked it up, and there's like they've been writing and rewriting the Roadhouse remake since 2013. And when, like, Ronda Rousey was supposed to be Dalton.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Seamus. Would you rather have you seen the Ronda Rousey version of this movie? Be honest with me.
That's also a wonderful question. Can I sidestep it like you sidestepped my Rock
absolutely.
Question?
You are permitted to, yes.
Oh, Lord.
We each get one.
Dalton.
My client has no comment.
Yeah, that is a... I mean, maybe if it was, like, if it mattered at all. I feel like at least if Ronda Rousey was cast as a gender swap Dalton, that would mean that they had to do something with it. This is just like, what if Dalton was Jake Gyllenhaal? And that's not enough for me to be invested in Dalton here.
You mentioned bringing this movie to remake court.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
It's a concept I am very amused by, and I think should have an official segment on this show.
I've been really thinking about this for a long time, since the pop quiz days. Pop quiz.
That was a very good rendition of the pop quiz theme.
That's my alarm for waking up. What do you mean? That's like how I start my day. It would be a coin flip, and you cannot debate your side of the argument on like where you stand, and you have to give literally your all, as much as you can give a movie one way or the other, in like 3 minute arguments each. I think there's time enough we can fit that in.
Bringing back Screen Junkies movie fights, I see.
Oh,
the pop culture reference.
Oh, am I a hack? Oh, no.
No, it's not exactly that, but it is kind of that.
But we have to use legal jargon, Garrett.
Yes, I think by the next time we cover a remake, you and I will have established
proceedings
remake court.
Your Honor. It's just going to be a lot of us saying Your Honor to no one, I think.
That's an interesting... We'll have to figure out how that works. But we will... There will be... Remake Court is coming soon to a pop culture reference podcast near you.
What else is there even to say? I feel like I'm trying to think of the things that are more obscured by our rants just now. How about his UFC flashback? We kind of touched on it. It is good that he has a thing, and I definitely agree that it's good that he has a thing. But
it would be good if they followed it up with anything. I mean, like, they never give us a real... I mean, the implication is that he just snaps, that his anger just snaps.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted more, though.
There should have been a philosophy angle.
There's
such a weird... The weirdness of the violence of the original, or even just the idea of that character, comes from this, like, he's doing Tai Chi on the beach, shirtless, in front of the bad guy's mansion. It's crazy. But Jake Gyllenhaal is just like, he snaps, and then I start to really just dislike fully all of the actions he takes. Patrick Swayze had, like, a sadness to the violence he was committing.
Yes. Which I think Gyllenhaal could do if they had played it that way.
It's like he's the worst half of the Nightcrawler guy. You're like, no, we don't want that half. We need the other one to make it feel like he doesn't want to do this. It feels like he actually wants to be the serial killer that Dalton doesn't want to be in the first one.
I have two things to say about that and one unrelated thing.
Okay.
First thing, I would say that at the beginning of the movie, I really like the angle that they take of it's like Dalton's interpretation, but instead of being tragic, he's like stoically honor bound in like annoyed though. He's like annoyed at how he's honor bound to drive these dweebs to the hospital after he critically injures them. I think that's really funny, and I wish that there had been more of, because his honor kind of disappears once that switch
exactly
flips. Two, I don't understand how they set up that he lives on a houseboat. They set up that the bad guy lives on a boat. And I was like, this is how we're going to get the their neighbors thing without it being stupid that they're neighbors. And they don't have a scene of him doing Tai Chi or whatever, or yoga or whatever it would be, whatever this version of Dalton would be doing out on the boat while the bad guy looks at him from his. It's like, we're close, guys.
Walking right up to the line of having him haphazardly driving his yacht like the first bad guy was haphazardly driving his car on the road. They almost do that a couple times in the new one too, but that it wouldn't make sense the way that they were doing it, and then they don't even follow through anyway. If people
wrote this movie for 10 years, how come you and I didn't get a crack at it? What's the deal with that?
That's what I'm saying. We're doing this in like a... I don't know. I think that's the biggest problem of all is the change of hands and the change of ideas. And then by the time we're here, one, nobody cares about Roadhouse. All the people that I've been like, yo, I just watched the original Roadhouse for the first time. And they're like, so? Like, I don't care. What are you talking about?
My parents, who were the exact correct age, have never seen Roadhouse.
That's what
I'm saying. Knew nothing about Roadhouse.
That's what I'm saying. Dang, it's not like when I say, oh, someone says, oh, I just watched The Godfather for the first time. People are like, oh, yeah. Or even something, what's another stupid 80s, late
Top
80s
Gun.
Thing? Like a Top Gun or a Ghostbusters 2. People, well, if somebody says they haven't seen Ghostbusters 2 around me, I go, what? You gotta watch
I think you actually
2.
Go, Vigo! And then you say, you'll get that when you watch Ghostbusters 2 this weekend.
Oh, God. Don't. Change my rec center preemptively, Garrett. I just watched Ghostbusters 2.
But yes, I'm agreeing that it's weird what a lack of a cultural footprint. I feel like I heard about Roadhouse more when we were growing up than I ever do now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, jokes, references, just like Patrick Swayze references in general. It's Roadhouse and Dirty Dancing.
Oh, so good.
And Ghost. And those are the three Patrick Swayze references.
Yeah, because people don't even talk about him in The Outsiders. So
I mean, The Outsiders is chock full of people that you forget are in that, and maybe it's just because I haven't watched that in a long time. But
such a good movie. We can't talk about The Outsiders right now.
Oh,
my
no,
one
absolutely not. We get sidetracked.
Unrelated thing. Remember, I had two related things. One
yes.
unrelated
oh, yes.
thing. Do you think you could beat up Post Malone? Yes or no?
I am gonna say no. And I don't know why, but I don't know if I could. It was weird to see him there, right? I don't remember hearing about that.
The whole scene to determine whether or not that was Post Malone.
That was where I was. I was like, did they just cast a guy that looks like Post Malone? Like, Conor McGregor's already here. Like, that's the weird guy that's in this. Why is maybe Post Malone doing, like, the brawl scene from the first... Sherlock Holmes movie.
That's exactly what it is. That is literally they're in the same warehouse.
Yeah,
actually, I'm pretty
truly.
Sure.
Oh, and then we have this weird I don't know. I'm no, I guess the answer is no. I'd hit him in the face and my hand would hurt. He's got metal teeth.
That's true.
He's got them gold chompers. But you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe I could be faster than him. Oh, I'm not fast. No, I don't know. I've never fought anybody, Garrett. What are you throwing me in the ring here for? Take a dive?
Because he seems like Post Malone, no knock on Post Malone. He just seems like a normal guy.
Does
you know?
He? I don't know.
Like I mean, not in that way. But like physically, I don't think of like Post.
He's not
like,
Jake Gyllenhaal shredded.
Yeah, he's
like,
not
absolutely.
Okay. Alternate reality, Adam Levine is the guy at the beginning of this movie. I don't think I could probably beat up Adam Levine.
No, you know? I don't think so either. I don't even know what he looks like right now, but I can guarantee he's more fit than I am.
They say, well, he's always got his shirt off. Like, he's
and
always
that's,
got that
Yeah, it
six
is part
pack.
Of his brand. Yeah, he has to keep it up.
And people love to say that his tattoos look like a Chipotle bag on his chest.
What are they of? What?
I don't look it up. This is not. I'm not here to educate you about Adam Levine, Seamus.
This week's pop culture reference is Adam Levine's Chipotle tattoos.
But
nonsense.
Like Post Malone, he just seems like, you know.
He's. I mean, he looks
sluggish. Being fit
kinda,
is not part of his brand. Like exactly.
Yeah, but also like I feel like a guy. Like that would just be throwing haymakers. Is that fair to say? Like, I don't know. He's not boxing like Jake Gyllenhaal is in this movie. He's like going off, you know?
That's okay. Here's my difference. He seems more like a kind of guy I wouldn't want to get in a bar fight with than a ring with. I feel like I'd be less scared of him in the ring than in a bar fight.
I guess, but that wasn't like a boxing ring. That was like a back alley bare knuckle brawl fight. Fair. You know, that's he was drawing much blood, knocking out many teeth.
That's true. That giant guy.
Oh man, no big guy in this one on either team either.
Weird again. Weird, and I as much as I like, I'm the guy from the handsome young bouncer guy from White Lotus.
Yeah.
Why is he not doing more in this movie? I know that actor's name. I really should know that actor.
Why is he not Jake Gyllenhaal's little best friend who he's like teaching exactly. how to run the roadhouse when he leaves at the end? You know, like they're and the lady bartender who brings him breakfast. Why isn't she doing literally anything?
You mean
after
her last scene
her?
In the movie when she brings him breakfast?
Oh, dude, not to mention Book Girl's last scene in the movie, which is like 30 minutes in until she's taken off screen to the hospital, not to return until the last scene.
So they should have just cut the bookstore. Like, they couldn't cut the bookstore because it's the whole relationship to the town.
It's the only piece of community that even makes any kind of attempt in this movie.
But the bookstore makes no sense. Like, nothing pays off with the bookstore other than it's what drives him into a murderous rage.
And that's okay. I was thinking a lot about the beekeeper, unfortunately. Also, maybe fortunately, during that moment of, like, what constitutes a reasonable John Wick response, you know?
Yes.
Like, is having your elderly neighbor scammed and driven to commit suicide, is that worth? I think that's worth it for the beekeeper. I think that makes a lot of sense. He talked to those people twice. The dad also doesn't show up again until they reveal that he left them the money for some reason.
I'm into this. It's actually, I think it is tying back to he's honor bound. They showed him a kindness. He must in turn. I don't think it's executed particularly well.
There's another movie that I was desperately trying to come up with that it ends with, like, the hero riding out of town and then the little people that he helped opening up a bag and it's full of cash.
You'll think of it and then you'll
maybe
mention
I'm thinking
it
of
next
like
week.
Uncharted 4 or something.
Weird,
where they're just like
maybe.
Pockets full of gold.
You have walked us up to something that I've been saving till the end of our discussion, and I believe we have reached it.
Please, lay it on me.
This movie is worse because it is Roadhouse by way of John Wick.
Yes. Agreed.
I think that
end of argument. I think that is absolutely fair. I think it is a messy attempt at many, many things, and they should have at least had a weird attempt at one thing.
Yes. We have said our piece about
I think so.
This movie,
I
and we will never speak of it again, probably.
Until it is brought up, it'll appeal in remake court, and we'll have to bring it to the Supreme Remake Court and rule on it from there.
By getting a sequel that constitutes an appeal.
Oh, wow, there it is. Okay, that'll be our...
That's Amazon's appeal.
Class action Roadhouse case against or for. I would love to. I would honestly, if I lost that coin flip and I had to be pro Roadhouse remake, I would give it my all. I would not let it go.
Well, that's because you're a man who respects the system.
The Hippocratic Oath? No, that's doctors. What do lawyers have to do?
Lawyers, you
lawyers
know,
have to do something.
The Constitution or whatever, probably.
They signed a thing. The bar something. We're
the
lawyers.
Bar. The Roadhouse Bar. The Double Deuce Bar.
The Double Deuce
is
bar.
What we are passing in order to get to represent in remake court.
Oh, God. What is the next remake that would potentially be up here? I don't know if there's a lot of big ones
okay,
that are coming.
Okay, give me a second. Because
Godzilla is long past.
Technically, The Fall Guy is a remake of a show.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I'm not watching a full show probably for
no,
that.
No, Twisters is a sequel.
Yeah,
Beetlejuice is a sequel.
True. Which they are really calling their shot with that title. Jeez.
The Wolfman is more of a character pastiche than a remake.
Huh.
Gladiator 2. Nosferatu.
Okay, I've never seen the original, but I think I have the Blu-ray on my shelf actually.
That'll be an interesting...
That'll be a weird
110
one.
Years removed remake court.
That'll be the most interesting, I think. But for now, this remake, in my eyes, is guilty.
I pounded my gavel and no sound came out.
You'll add in a kicking noise twice, like a gavel.
But it's actually a sound effect from the original Roadhouse of Patrick Swayze kicking it out.
All right, let's get out of here. But also kind of not.
For today's pop culture reference, we're going to be talking about the use of CGI in the new Roadhouse. While the original Patrick Swayze Roadhouse has been praised for its action realism both on and off this podcast, the recent Roadhouse remake starring Jake Gyllenhaal has garnered much criticism over its use of CGI in action sequences. Last week, on our pop culture reference, we brought up the promising facts behind the athleticism and fighting experience of co-stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. And while they did in fact shoot many of their own combat sequences with each other, the heavy reliance on CGI touch-ups does little to highlight their own respective talents on screen.
The actual process, called a multipass, involves replacing the actors with fully CGI doubles during moments of impact in action sequences. This can last for as little as a few frames, but ultimately informs the way the fights are choreographed, shot, and edited. Other elements of realism, like shooting for the Caribbean locale in the Dominican Republic, and having Dalton's UFC flashbacks shot at a real UFC event, seem to conflict directly with the explosion, blood, and general fighting effects that are used so heavily throughout the film.
Famed UK martial artist and actor Scott Adkins has criticized this recent remake, comparing it to other works of modern action like John Wick 4 that made a point to use as little CGI as possible in hand-to-hand fights, and inevitably bringing up the magic behind Swayze's original portrayal of Dalton without the aid of computer effects. Of course, the CGI touch-ups create a much safer performing environment for actors to execute stage fighting scenes and allow filmmakers to choreograph much more intricate action elements, but in a film that has a legacy of practical effects and on-screen realism, the efforts ultimately work against the dwindling charm of the Roadhouse remake.
Can you tell that my negative ass wrote a lot of this?
We didn't talk about this a ton during the main segment, partially because I knew that this was coming. I don't think that this specific kind of action is necessarily completely out of place. This is a practice that's used a lot in a lot of movies that we don't do a whole reference on it because they're not completely built around close hand-to-hand fights that we need to see like in a more grounded setting. These are things like Kingsman and Marvel movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
any superhero movie, really, not just Marvel, where it's built into the, frankly, uglier aesthetic of those movies, and therefore kind of balanced out and accounted for. Not that I thought that this movie was particularly good looking outside of its fight sequences, but it really does feel odd when you get into them.
Yeah, I was actually thinking quite a bit about our favorite scene of cinema history, the church fight in the original Kingsman.
You too, Seamus? You were also thinking that?
Well, hey, you know, I you're not wrong when you say that type of split-second CG replacement works better in movies that look older. They look like the Kingsman or video game movies, you know? They feel like that visually fits. But when you have something like the Roadhouse remake, where it is in the brightest locations you've ever seen, save for a few fights in the nighttime, I mean, in both the church scene and in a lot of the bar fight scenes of the Roadhouse remake, I was impressed and, you know, thinking that action moments were very cool, but then I think it's just unbelievably more noticeable in Roadhouse, the moments that draw me completely out of a fight altogether.
Yeah, I totally agree. I am not against this practice as a whole, but here I think it was really jarring and has produced a lot of discourse.
Yeah.
But what do you say we move it on over and save the Roadhouse Part 2, except they didn't save it this time. They failed to save it. It burned to the ground.
Destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. Let's do it.
Save the Red Center! Now it's time to save the rec center, where we bring you our weekly rec amendations. Seamus, what's up for you?
Well, I had the pleasure of playing through a very short and very lovely indie game. Garrett, have you heard of Titan Chaser?
I think I've seen it on the App Store.
Yes, and what a coincidence that I'm talking about this and it just so happens to be on sale for a dollar right now. Maybe the only reason I got it, but I gotta say, I was absolutely charmed by this little indie experience. It can be played through entirely in a couple hours. It is just, you have a job to drive around a foggy area of the world and guide big old monsters, friendly big monsters, to where they need to go. It's no combat, no horror elements. It's just like you drive into the fog and you listen to lo-fi beats on a cassette tape and you run into big friends and you send them on their way. It's genuinely incredibly relaxing. I fell asleep playing it multiple times just because it is nothing but, you know, a $1.24's worth of vibes that I couldn't recommend more.
So what I'm hearing is it's Death Stranding, Shadow of the Colossus, but in the package of that one where you're walking through the desert that's a sister game to Abzu, whose name I can't remember.
That name is called Journey, Garrett, and you've got pretty much everything you need. Throw in a little sprinkle of Cloudpunk, which I referenced a couple weeks ago, and you have Titan Chaser. It is just gentle and lovely and a dollar. So I think if you have a dollar to spare and a couple hours to boot, then I would check it out.
That sounds very relaxing, actually. I think I'm interested in that for sure.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Have you watched Trollhunter? Have you seen Trollhunter?
I'm going to go ahead and say I've not seen Trollhunter, but I'm going to go ahead and say that this game is very, very influenced by Trollhunter, down to the lady that you play as having a lovely Scandinavian accent.
Well, there you go. Well, you should, that's not my rec center this week, but you should watch Trollhunter.
I've been told. I will keep that in mind. But what do you have to save the rec center?
I had the privilege this last couple weeks of going down to Chicago and seeing the series of films that the Music Box Theater has been putting on called Cinema Morricone, which was a series of, I believe, 17 films that were scored by legendary, uber-prolific film composer and general genius Ennio Morricone. I saw 9 films in the series, 5 of them I had not seen before, 4 of them I had. All of them I enjoyed to varying degrees, but I would say all of them I liked. And some of them were, you know, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And stuff, you know, some of the greatest movies of all time.
Literally the absolute cinema history, yeah.
But the film from that series that I'm here to rec center today is one that I somehow, despite everything about me, had not seen. And that is the 1988 Italian film Cinema Paradiso, which is a movie about how great movies are, but not in an annoying Hollywood self-gratifying way. It's in a very grounded, heartfelt way that is more about the people that are in your life and around movies, that how movies refract your relationships, how they reflect your relationships, and how when you see a film, no matter what it is that's going on in your life, somehow that movie's going to be about that, and that's just how great movies are.
Mm.
I was incredibly moved by it. I'd obviously been hearing for years and years that it's a film that I should see, and I'm glad that I finally got to see it in not only a great way, but obviously in a movie theater that, to me, represents many of those same things that the movie itself is about.
That sounds like an absolutely incredible experience, man. I have heard for pretty much my entire life the same thing about Cinema Paradiso being, like, the greatest film of all, one of the greatest films, at least, of all time. And would love to check that out myself. I mean, it sounds like I'll never get a better experience than seeing it at the Music Box itself, but I mean, that sounds amazing, and that is shooting to the top of my I need a real movie to watch instead of, like, random action BS list.
It's totally worth your time, but it's also important to engage with. I definitely agree.
Yeah, that sounds like when I'm putting the phone in the other room, I'm just drawing the blinds. That's all I'm focusing on for sure.
Well, I hope you watch it soon, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
But that wraps us up for the show this week. If you want to reach us on social media, that's at @PCR_podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can reach the show directly at popculturereferencepod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Any way you can engage with the show genuinely just signal boosts us to the moon. It is definitely incredible when we get to see that from you guys.
Next week, lots of you have probably already seen it. I am excited to get it under our belt. Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire is coming to Pop Culture Reference. Seamus X Garrett: The new episode of Pop Culture Reference.
Oh man, I am excited, I say, squinting my eyes in skepticism. I haven't heard anything really about it.
You liked the last one a lot more than I did.
And I enjoyed Monarch, for God's sake.
Oh,
you know,
Monarch was good.
I'm ready to be hurt again, Gary. I really am. I'm ready to just be crushed. Or for them to make this into the Fast and the Furious, where Kurt Russell's going to somehow show up in this movie.
I'm hearing more connections to Skull Island. That's what I'm maybe hearing.
And you know what? That's a big plus. That's a move in the right direction, I'd say.
So, very excited to go check that out with you, and then to get back on the mic and talk about it next week.
Adios, amigos.